WGR.
It's hard to find an expert more dedicated than John Clayton.
Sports Radio 550.
He's the consummate pro.
It's John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
With Chopin the Bulldog.
Brought to you by Northwest Bank. Make the switch to Northwest Bank and get back to living.
Why not just ask this? John, Bulldog and I are in here talking about President Bush. The funeral is today, right?
Well, I think it's been every day for like the last week.
That's actually right. The funeral has been every day for days.
Every day.
Yeah. Maybe the Texas part of it is today, I think, is what's going on.
Well, I have the greatest respect for George Bush, 41. I mean, I thought he was a very good president. I'm not going to go into more political type of stuff. But, they took him in a train, and I think, isn't there another ceremony that they might have just had? I know there was one this morning. It was supposed to be an hour, and it went about an hour 35. And it's like, man, this thing just goes on and on and on. We respect, but this is a lot.
Well, because you've said that, I will not ask you the 14 questions about politics that I had written down. But I did want to know. I think you've maybe given a clue here. If I had to guess whether you would have ever met him, I would have maybe guessed no, but I would have thought about it. Like it seems possible to me that you would have met presidents in your career. But
I know that when Obama was running for the presidency the first time, Rick Riley got on tour with him and actually got back the word to ESPN that Obama would watch my Friday injury reports. And the biggest thing for fantasy football, he was trying to see what bears I would have in there to see how he had to change his fantasy team. So I was kind of flattered by that. I know that I have been, in fact, I think it was this year, at a Houston Texans game. At a Houston Texans game, I was literally like about 5 feet away from him. You know, he was in a wheelchair at that time, and I naturally was not going to go. I didn't want to get attacked by Secret Service or anything like that, so I didn't go over and say anything.
This is about Bush.
This is about George Bush, agreed. So it's like I've been near them, but not to the point where I've been around talking to them.
Okay, so you've never met a sitting president.
That is correct.
Okay, neither have I. Right. Bulldog?
No. Yeah, but I know.
Or a former president.
I know that you probably want to be careful about rolling up on a former president. After I learned my lesson when I tried to go talk to Warren Sapp at a Super Bowl one year and got surrounded by security people.
You better have a whole route plan.
So I would think with a president it would be even more difficult.
What were they trying to stop Sapp from getting at you, or were you?
No, I just wanted to go approach him to see if he'd come on our show. You know how the Super Bowl works, John. I mean, it's just like, so. Mike and I are sitting there in the lobby of the Houston Convention Center or wherever the hell we were.
That's right.
And like Warren Sapp is what like Mike said, hey, there's Warren Sapp. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna go give this a go. We'd like take turns. Like let's take a stupid run at somebody who is almost definitely not gonna want to come on our show. So like here comes Warren Sapp. Like all right, I'm gonna go roll up on Warren Sapp, and I got like 10 feet from Warren Sapp, like three guys came out, like just busting out of their suits. I'm like, okay, I don't really want to talk to Warren Sapp. We're good here.
Yeah,
see you later.
That is the worst. I don't know how you've survived all those radio rows. I mean, how many times a day? You're we're on the other side. Like, you see John Clayton and like five me's come after you. To see if you want to talk to these guys in Asheville, North Carolina.
The weird part is, on Radio Row, I've only been, I think, 3-4 years on Radio Row doing stuff. I mean, and normally, because you know, my responsibilities, particularly at ESPN, you know, it kept me, I didn't have to be on Radio Row unless I was going to see you guys or I was going to see the Chicago radio or something like that. But, the last 3 years, I think it is, 3-4 years, you know, I've been on Radio Row, because what ends up happening is that I'm the one getting hit on to try, can you come do this, can you come do that, can you come do that? And so normally, just out of respect, I just kind of stay the way and only try to sneak in when necessary.
Yeah, that's right. You can you learn those moves, I think, how to protect yourself.
What the key move is, and I know that Doug does this all the time. I mean, you do this all the time, right? I mean, you basically take the cell phone and grab it to your ear, and even though you're not talking to anybody, you talk to somebody, and then it looks... I learned that from Franco Harris. Franco Harris used to do that. If he wanted to get through a crowd, he would put the phone, whether he's talking to somebody or not, and make it look like he's talking to somebody.
When were... Bulldog, when were we talking about that move? You watching players on and off the bus? Like, wouldn't you always just have your phone pretending to be talking to someone so that you could fend off any approachers? We were just talking about that for some reason.
Franco Harris, of all people. Like,
yeah.
Like, when did you know him with a cell phone? I mean, I guess somewhat currently, right?
Was at a Super Bowl.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a great move.
I watched him do it at a Super Bowl. Now, naturally, when I covered him in the 70s, he didn't have any cell phone because they weren't even invented back then.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah. Big reunion weekend in Pittsburgh last weekend.
Yeah, that's right.
And Bradshaw doesn't go?
Normally not.
I didn't see him. I didn't check on that. But
so. Yeah.
there were all those guys were there. I was just so jealous watching that. Like, it's not that far from here. It's just such different existences, the two franchises.
Yeah.
And you've got Blyer and Franco and Stallworth and Green and all those legends up from the 70s. And you've got the guys like James Harrison and Kiesel, is it? Like the newer renditions of the Steelers. And it's just like, I don't know, everybody just seems so happy about it.
Yeah, but of course the one issue is that he's got to be on the Fox broadcasting set in L.A., and so that would have been a little bit of a tough commute to be able to make that night game like that.
But he totally would be allowed to.
No, I'm sure. Oh, yeah, he can do anything he wants.
Right.
But normally he does stay away. I mean, he's kind of exclusive like that.
Yeah, he doesn't, like, it's not a perfect situation.
Is this like a Yogi Berra Yankees thing? Is there a problem between Bradshaw
there's
and
something.
The Steelers?
I think there's something. I don't know about the Yogi Berra Yankees thing, but.
Well, he was like,
well,
he was in and out with
the Terry, because, I mean, he and Brett Favre were two of my favorite players to cover in this league. And Terry was just so honest and fun and all that. But also, I mean, he would have all these opinions. You go, what are you talking about, Terry? I mean, the classic one that he had, he says, well, I'm upset with Chuck Knoll and that play calling and all that stuff. I just think it's too – I just don't like that play calling and all that. And it's like, Terry, he lets you call the plays. He doesn't call the plays. And, you know, he kind of creates these little spats that don't really exist. And so he would create a thing with saying, hey, I had some problems with the way that Chuck was calling the plays. But it's like, Terry, you were one of the few quarterbacks left in the early 80s that was allowed to call the plays. I mean, once Bill Walsh came in and started going to West Coast offense, you know, that took the play calling away from the quarterback. But they never really did with Terry. Terry still called the plays.
Mm-hmm. Yogi Berra actually taught me that move myself with the phone.
Yeah.
John Clayton with us, author, columnist, Hall of Famer, actor. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, here on WGR. John, joining us via the West Her Hotline. John, the Bills are favored for the first time this year.
Unbelievable.
Pretty tough to get to. I mean, they're not the worst team either.
Did Calvin Benjamin go? Is that the reason they got a point or two in Greece?
Is that why they're favored? I don't know. I don't think so, but I'll look into that for you. How about like three quarters of the way through the season here, 4-8? Is it about what you thought it would be?
No, I thought it was going to be better. But again, it's like, I still thought that they were, you know, if you're making the prediction, usually you're making it before the A.J. McCarron trade. And so I thought with A.J. McCarron, it was, you know, maybe a 6-7 win season and maybe with a chance of getting to 8. You know, I thought that was the case. But then all of a sudden, out goes McCarron. And then I had to kind of readjust because, you know, like everybody in the world, I don't have any faith in Nathan Peterman from what I've seen. And what that wasn't going to change. And to go with the combination of Nathan Peterman and Josh Allen, who I still thought the best thing to do was to let him wait and don't put him in that early, so that kind of readjusted things, and I think you can see with the results of the season, you know, it's kind of readjusted. But then, I mean, you look at how weird this team is in the sense that they can play so bad, and yet they can play against certain teams so well and pull out victories you don't think is logical.
Right. Well, what's that? The Minnesota game, mostly?
Yeah, Minnesota game.
They played well with Houston, too, and they shut Houston down. Houston's won 9 in a row. Maybe the closest they've come. Sorry, I'm not exactly well-versed in their scores week to week here, but they probably haven't had a lot of tighter games than that Bills game was. I mean, the Bills had them in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, but that's the thing with Houston. That's what the misleading part is that, yeah, they've won 9 in a row, but when you start to look back and where they are, it's amazing to think that they have. But I think it's a testament to Bill O'Brien and a testament to Deshaun Watson. But it really started with that Indy game, and that game should have been a tie. Because remember, former Bills quarterback Frank Reich decided instead of trying to take the punt and then just take the tie, he tried for the fourth down it failed, and then they came back, and Houston did, and gets the field goal to win the game. And so they lost that one, so they should have had a tie instead of a loss. And then they come back the next week against Dallas, went overtime, and then a tie. But after that, I mean, they're taking on teams for the most part with losing records and, you know, winning games by 6 points here, 3 points there. So they've been the benefactor of an easy schedule, but to their credit, they've taken the easy schedule and done great things with it.
Well, you mentioned, John, the Bills, you know, they cut Benjamin. They also cut Andre Holmes, another veteran receiver. So they're at, like, Deontay Thompson, and then it's second and first-year guys. Like, that's it. That's what they are at receiver. And, excuse me, at receiver. And one of those guys got hurt today in practice, and we'll see if Isaiah McKenzie, like, just how serious that toe injury is. But they are continuing to just sort of try out, you know, young guys. That seems to be where they're at this point in the season.
Yeah, and that's the thing I think is so scary because, again, this doesn't help the quarterback. You know, when you're kind of going down and lessening the talent at the receiver position to try to do that in, you know, a line that's pretty shaky, I mean, is that going to be best in the development of Josh Allen? I mean, you kind of wonder about that. It's like, you know, most teams would like the idea. It's like, okay, if I have a choice between a defensive player and an offensive player, and I have a first-round young quarterback who eventually should be pretty good, you want to surround him with as much talent as possible, not minimize the talent. So that was a curious thing to cut two receivers in one day. Now, I know in the case of Benjamin, you have to kind of think, well, I mean, 25 catches and 62 targets. I mean, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like statistically, I think, one of the worst lines we've seen in years. He kind of earned that. And you notice nobody claimed that big salary, but Denver immediately grabbed Holmes just so they get somebody to come in there in the slot and work for the Emmanuel Sanders Achilles tear.
And he's a valuable special teamer, too. And as far as I know, I don't know what soured them on Holmes. Maybe nothing other than we've got young guys that we'd rather play. Whereas Benjamin, I think he wore the coaches out here, I think is what happened there.
But isn't that weird? Because wasn't that the same thing with Watkins? I mean, Sammy, didn't he wear everybody out there, you know, complaining about not getting the ball, texting about not getting the ball? You know, what is it about these, you know, receivers from that first-round receivers that the Bills get that do that? I mean, because, again, you know, Benjamin wearing himself out probably, wearing himself out probably. So it's like kind of strange. Mean, Watkins wearing himself out properly. It's kind of weird.
I don't know how much the same it is, but I know that, well, at least I think that Watkins is really good and Benjamin is not. And I think that that's been true for the most part the whole time. Watkins, of course, has been hurt a lot, and that doesn't help me make this argument. It doesn't make it any easier. So if I want to, if I may get back to like the looking ahead for the Bills, not so much about Sunday, but just like the future, is it possible for you to weigh in on what next year should be? They'll have a lot of money. They'll have a lot of cap room to try things. But I don't know how much of a destination they'll be for the kind of skill position guys they probably need. Defense is excellent. It seems like it's well coached, and they might have a lot right there. What about their prospects? Like, what would you say?
Well, I mean, I still think that the fact that there is a young quarterback with talent, that can at least attract some things. And I'd be very wary of going too heavy in free agency because I don't think it's going to be a good free agent class. I mean, you look at this year's free agent class and look at all the failures, either guys going on injured reserve, guys getting cut. I mean, there's like three guys that were prime guys in free agency, and they've already been traded. And so, you know, making $5 million a year or more. So I'd be wary of the free agent. I think the biggest thing that this team needs is a good draft. And then you spot some players around that, and drafting to the offensive line, now drafting to the receiving core. Problem is next year, this may be one of the most one-sided drafts that you're going to have because there's much more on defense than there is on offense. And so I guess in free agency, it's going to be kind of picking at the, you know, maybe not high-end guys too much, but picking the right guys for free agency on offense and then drafting, you know, well on defense.
John, as far as you know, has anyone ever done like somewhat of a comprehensive study of free agency and like the hit rate? I mean, you'd have to establish some criteria for what a hit would be.
Yeah.
But it just seems ripe to make mistakes in free agency when you think about the money you have to spend. Surely there are players who were signed to big contracts and ended up helping teams. But boy, I bet there's got to be a lot more. There's going to be more regret than probably praise.
Well, this year in particular, and I think what the pattern is, and one of the things I track, and I'll try to, you know, maybe see if I can come up with some kind of a number, because I'm sure there is some kind of a failure rate, success rate, or whatever. But the one thing that I notice, what's happened now, because I have this right in one of the 55 million worksheets that I have, is that I keep track of what's on the roster for the draft is coming up. Like, for example, the draft is coming up in free agency. Like, for example, the 2015 draft is the draft that's going to be up for free agency. And when you start to look at that list and you maybe only see like 60, 70 guys that are going to be available, and then some of those guys are really, you know, not going to be hitting free agency because they're on the 50-year option as first-round picks. I mean, that limits, and I saw that happening last year when you had to go to the 2014 draft, that there was like 92 players that were going to be available in free agency, subtracting some of the ones from the first-year option guys, so you had 70. This year it looks like it's going to be about 20 smaller. And one by one, a lot of those guys from 2015 are going on injured reserve. So I think, and you see last year's class was bad. I mean, you know, Andrew Norwell went to Jacksonville for $13.3 million. You know, he's on injured reserve. I mean, you've already seen failures like Andre Smith. He gets cut. You've already seen, you know, trades of the quarterbacks. Teddy Bridgewater getting traded. So, no, I think it's a buyer beware, and more so next year than this year.
John, your thoughts on Mike McCarthy?
I didn't like what they did. I mean, but I knew it was coming. You can understand part of the reason they let him go because, and I noticed it on the sideline in the Green Bay game against Seattle, the Thursday night game. I mean, you can see that, you know, Aaron was, you know, you can see the body language that he didn't like a lot of the things that were coming in from the sidelines. And I know, I get the halftime report of what the coach says, and like Mark McCarthy, who I'm close with, you know, said that he wanted to run the ball more. Well, I mean, he only ran the ball 13 times in that Seattle game, and I think it was like 5 times in the second half. So he wasn't living up to his word, and then it came back after the game, said he wanted to run the ball more the next week, and they ran it 19 times. You can see that Aaron was frustrated with that, and I tend to believe the thought that, you know, Aaron would get a play from Mike and audible to something else on some things. So you can see, you know, he was not going to make it to next year, and Mike's going to be fine. Because, I mean, he'll either get the Cleveland job or he'll get 2 or 3 other offers. So he'll be fine job-wise. But I just thought it was unfair for after 13 years to let a guy go the way that they did it. You can understand one part of it is they're going to interview some college coaches. And you have to make a college coach decision before the end of the year. So that has to be in play, whether it's going to be Pat Fitzgerald or what Lincoln Riley or whatever. Mm-hmm. I still think that the guy that's going to get it, and you're going to kill me for saying this, Joshy Boy McDaniels.
Oh, okay. Whatever. I'm not going to kill you for that. I really don't care that much. I will remember that Seattle Green Bay game, though, for that punt when that's the last time they had the ball. And I thought McCarthy just constantly was just too conservative, didn't get the game probabilities right. The Seahawks are on Monday night again this week, and so you'll be there for that one. Does that free you up to see a game Sunday?
It does.
Where are you going?
Good observation. I am going to see the Kansas City Chiefs host the Baltimore Ravens.
Okay, that's a good choice.
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, you know that I had that 12-day stretch, which was just absolutely incredible. And I thank Azteca Stadium for contributing to that because I saw right. A Seahawk-Ram game on a Sunday, the Green Bay-Seattle game on Thursday. When they moved the game to L.A., I saw the Chargers play the Denver Broncos on Sunday, stayed over for that great game between the Chiefs and the Rams. Mm-hmm. And then on the next week, I had the Carolina game against the Seattle, and then did the Monday night game for Westwood Radio on Houston and Tennessee. What a great stretch. And so out of the same vein, I'm going to pop over to Kansas City and see the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, that's a really interesting game this week. Maybe number one on the list. Very good. Well, we love hearing about your travels and asking you random things. Thanks as always, John.
Hey, thank you.
John Clayton.
There you go. John Clayton on the Wester Hotline with us and his appearance brought to you by Northwest. Make the switch to Northwest Bank and get back to living.
There's a little feel of, kind of the training camp almost because it's, Mike's not here. So there's, new voices. And, everybody's kind of realizing that we're all under the microscope even more. And who knows what the changes are going to be after the season. So the feeling that more eyes are on all of us, whether it's Mark or Brian or scouts.
Aaron Rodgers, the Packers are home to Atlanta on Sunday, one of the games that Bulldog bashed earlier. Give us a call. You want to talk Bills or Sabres? 803-0550. I don't think we've talked to any callers today. I don't even remember anybody being on hold today.
I mean, I would still, you can do a lot worse than watching Aaron Rodgers and Matt Ryan play football. You know, I mean, there's star power there. It's just like, as far as the significance of the game, you know, it just kind of suffers because those teams are not, you know, they're not having good years.
I heard some of the morning show today. Scott Pianowski is one of my favorite guests to hear on the station from Yahoo. And they were talking about where Josh Allen ranks in fantasy this week. Like, somebody texted in a question. What about Allen or Andrew Luck? And he said, Andrew Luck. But he listed 6 or 8 brand names that he would start Allen in front of this week. Stafford, Wentz, they were a couple. Stafford, I think, might be obvious.
I mean, the rushing yards really help a lot.
The rushing yards.
Right.
Scott said, if you didn't know this, that Allen rushing the last 2 weeks is an NFL record for a quarterback in 2 weeks.
Really? Back-to-back? Wow.
Not even just a rookie.
Right.
For any. 232 yards.
Wow.
Or 230, whichever it is.
That's stunning to me. That, like, well, I mean, it'd be back-to-back 100-yard games. Yeah, I guess. I mean, Vic, at his most prolific, I'm thinking of him, like, would not have done that.
Look that up.
Like, that seems, Randall Cunningham had a couple of years, you know, in Philly, some really good running years. But, yeah, I mean, back-to-back 100-yard games. I mean, I'm giving him 100 against the Jaguars. Thank you. You know, whatever. It's close enough. I guess that probably is pretty rare, even for guys who really, really run it effectively or did run it effectively, like Vic, I'm saying.
I'm looking at Vic's game log for his career. For Atlanta, he started with Atlanta, 2002 at Minnesota. I remember this game. There was a famous highlight of him running in that game.
He was used in like a commercial at some point, I think. Like, he just runs through. It was a Nike commercial for like Michael Vick the Ride, and he runs through, like, he just makes 3 Minnesota defenders collide. Like, they can't gauge the speed. Like, someone, they're coming at angles and they think they've got him and they just miss him.
Maybe he had an overtime run. I don't know, but 10 for 173 and 2, but he had 20 the week before and 9 the week after.
Wow.
So that doesn't.
Right.
That doesn't do it.
Right.
141 in a game the next year, but nothing around it. 115 and 70. He had 3 in a row. 115, 73, and 104. It's not better.
Right.
Yeah. Michael Vick, I think it's right.
Yeah.
Allen has the record for consecutive rushing yards by a quarterback in consecutive games, total yards. So, right. I mean, if he runs for 100 yards.
Oh, my God.
That's 10 points. And a quarterback without rushing. What's 10 points? 250 yards passing is 10 points if your league does 1 point for every 25 and no touchdowns or picks.
Mm-hmm.
So 100 yards rushing equals, you know, formats vary, but 100 yards rushing equals 250 passing in fantasy.
Yeah, that's pretty valuable.
Pretty good.
Yep.
These are critical days. Week 14 starts tonight. You've got playoffs. I got a lot of them. I got a lot of playoffs. Really nervous.
Well.
Really nervous.
You want to lighten your load? Let me run a couple of those.
You want to? Would you sabotage them?
No, I would never.
What would you do? You'd do exactly what I would do.
I wouldn't. Whatever.
Made some. You know, there are some close calls. You might make some different calls, of course.
I guess, maybe.
It's a lot of teams.
Yeah.
I have 12 playoff teams.
Yeah.
And this is it. I mean, this is what I've run all those laps for. So I lifted all those weights to get to this point. At the beginning of the day, we talked about, it was riveting, which websites are open on our computers. And one of mine is cap friendly. And I blanked at the moment, not match game. I blanked. Joe was reaching. I blanked at the moment when we were talking about like why we had these pages open. I didn't tell you the main reason why I did. We talked about the Sabres cap number,
right,
and the draft picks. So I got a, you asked a question about like how it shows what the Sabres have in draft picks. It's really easy to read. It's
and,
nice.
Yeah, and where they went if they don't have them, too. Like, that's yeah. nice. That's a nice little database to have access to.
Everything is right there. The reason I have it open is, or one reason I have it open, is the expansion draft.
Oh, come
and,
on.
No, really. And as I was mentioning, having heard the morning show today, I heard them talk about...
I did, too.
You did?
Yeah.
So you know. They talked about how remote, how far away the expansion draft right. is, and, like, there's... Neither guy was, neither Howard nor Jeremy was interested in, like, strategizing about it. I want to say something about that.
Okay.
The Sabres are going to be doing it, and the Sabres have probably already been doing it. And so while it might be a long way off and you're not going to care about which guys do I want to think about protecting for the expansion draft because it's 2.5 years away. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, that's a factor in everything they do. They're going to have, and I think that probably goes back however long. I mean, the Seattle thing was a fait accompli. There was going to be this 32nd team, and the league knew it.
Right.
Jason Botterill would have known it.
The question was when the draft would be. There was a possibility they'd come in a year sooner, and the draft would be that much sooner, and like that might have been, I mean, the sooner the better, I guess, your younger guys. Dahlin, for example. If they came in a year sooner, you could get away with doing with Dahlin what you did with Eichel and Reinhart when Vegas came in, which is they're not, you don't have to be protected, they're ineligible.
2 years pro.
Right.
Two years pro or less, is it, that you don't have to do it? And Dahlin will be 3
right
by then. So, yes. And so Dahlin will count. You have guys. Kyle Okposo is on a contract with a limited no movement clause that it goes past 2021.
Are you sure the no move extends that far? I read somewhere that it might modify or even expire.
That does happen.
The back end of it, so that way you wouldn't have to worry about him.
I don't know. It's a good question. That does happen. His contract goes past that date.
That's right.
I don't know if the clause does, but if it does, then he would count.
Right.
And Eichel will count, and you're going to have to do it's the same rules. Goaltending is interesting. Paul Hamilton and I talked about this on Tuesday. Hutton is on a 3-year deal, and that will be up at the time of that expansion draft. And is that a coincidence? Maybe that's a coincidence, or maybe you know they handled Ullmark a certain way for the last expansion draft.
Right.
And if he's the guy they think they're going to have for longer, I don't know. Like, maybe that 3 years is not entirely a coincidence.
You have to expose a goalie, though. So if you were looking to guard against it, like if you were thinking by 3 years from now, it would be reasonable to think Ullmark or someone else, but Ullmark, I think Lukanen's still so young that he's ways off. But if we think he's going to be our number one by then, that's the plan, then wouldn't you want the extra year for Hutton so you could keep him and expose him, right? Like, because not under contract, you don't get to expose him. He's a free agent, so you're stuck there.
Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe that's right.
I wonder if they wanted an extra year, even, you know. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I don't know at his age whether they wanted to do that or not. But no,
will be interesting for apart from the expansion draft, the two goalies will be interesting to watch going forward.
Yeah, I don't think. I have no problem with those two thoughts. The thought from the morning show, which is, I can't begin trying to put the puzzle together, okay? It's too far. I don't know who's going to be here. Like, just stop, okay? And that the Sabres would, of course, be thinking about it with, any acquisitions that they may be thinking about making. Or, like, is that another guy we're going to have to protect? Do we need, what do we need to be doing here? Maybe trying to trade someone who they wouldn't mind exposing anyway, and like, well, we might lose him. Like, maybe I get something for him, that kind of thing. Like, they definitely would be thinking about that.
A certain kind of player will, I don't want to say benefit necessarily, but there'll be a certain kind of player that gets an extra year on new contracts because of the expansion draft, because a team will be allowed to. Mm-hmm. It's not like a top player you'd want to protect. A guy under that you want might get an extra year on contracts because of the expansion draft, and you can put them out there.
Right.
Is it right that Vegas – is it fair that Vegas will be exempt?
I don't think so.
Yeah, you're against it.
I don't think it's fair. They got to build the team. It was a pretty advantageous system for them. They did well. Good for them. They should have to expose things. I don't know. Maybe I could listen to like modifying it for them because they've been in the league such a short time. But whatever, you're in the club. Cough something up.
They also made the finals last year.
Right.
Although there is this, I've read that they did not get a piece of the expansion fee. They're the only team that did not get that chunk of change.
Hmm.
So maybe that's part of it.
What is it, 650?
Yeah.
650 mil?
$33 million, I think I saw, per team. But they don't get that.
What will the Sabres do with it? Black beans? What will the Sabres do with that money? Was that too snarky? What will the Sabres do with the $33 million check?
I've not. You know what's something that happens if your
Guac?
Team. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Your team gets good all of a sudden is that you only look at the one half of the standings. I just thought to myself, like, what's Vegas doing? Where's Vegas? There they are. 15, 13, and 1.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah. They're having a normal year.
Right. Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to trample all over your
black. I'm at fault. I was at fault there. I felt at fault.
I'll let you have it.
We will take a break because that's the best idea available right now. 803-0550 for us, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
Going to get you today's deal of the day right now. Make it a white water Christmas with a raft trip for two at Letchworth State Park for just $59. Ride the rapids for half the price. This 50% discount, it's the deal of the day from My Buffalo Perks. Details at mybuffaloperks.com. I would assume that event would take place again in the springtime. I don't think now's the time you want to be doing that.
We were talking about that yesterday, whether you could do it in the winter, and I never got the official answer on that.
I looked it up. It doesn't say specifically, but I'm pretty sure you can't do it like now.
I don't think they'd do it. I don't think
right.
Could you do it yourself? I don't want to stop talking.
I don't know at all.
I don't know
the rules.
I want to just stop. I want to stop talking. Yeah, no. Don't do it.
Just trying to talk Joe into betting on something tonight. Since I had the page open, thought he might want to bet on like a hockey game. The Grand Salami. Remember betting on the Grand Salami with Andrew?
I thought about the number. You gave me the number, then the number of games, and I'm like, I don't know. It's like 6.5 goals a game. I don't know if I feel good about that.
Are there 11 games? Can
yeah,
we count them?
That's what you said, yeah.
11 games, and the total, you can actually, this might surprise people, maybe even delight them. You can bet on how many goals will be scored in the league tonight out of 11 games, and the line is 69.5. Over under 69.5. You can also bet on will home teams score more than 3.5 goals more than road teams. And I said to Joe, imagine betting like a paycheck on that. On home goals versus road goals in the NHL tonight. What would that feel like?
I would drive myself crazy.
Oh.
10 games, just nonstop.
Oh. What would that feel like?
Right.
That is a rush. I mean, you could get into trouble gambling.
Will go home tonight and look at. I mean, newsflash. I do this almost every night anyway. But the Leafs are home for Detroit. Like at 7 o'clock. I'll get there right away. Montreal, Ottawa depends who's doing it. If it's like the TSN guys, I might hang there because Gord Miller. I like Ray Ferraro between the glass. Like it's a good broadcast in my opinion. So I might look at that in Boston and Tampa. I'm going to want to get around to as well, not for any broadcast reasons at all. I'm not a fan of really either of those.
Is it Go Tampa?
But what's that?
Is it Go Tampa? It is, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Boston is the team.
Fly be free, Tampa. Like I need. Yeah,
the Boston Bruins are the team. Tampa and Toronto are fine. They're going to make it. We want to make it. Boston is the team. Florida's way back. Maybe. We'll see. Montreal, right kind of in between Boston and Florida a little bit. Boston is the Sabres have already beaten Montreal 3 times. Boston is the team. If Boston falters, it will just look that much better.
Right.
And if they get hot, we'll get scared.
They'll get guys back eventually. McAvoy is taking the skate tonight, and if he feels okay, he's going to play. So if he doesn't, he's close. You know, Bergeron has got a couple more weeks probably, right? Chara?
About a month.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a tough run, man.
Too bad for them. Hate to see something bad happen to Boston sports.
Don't you feel bad for the Bruins?
Let me fix a game up for you guys. You guys have been nice today. Let me fix a game up.
Wow.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. This is WGR.